This month of December, we bring you music.
The Columbia Jazz Band, as you said, 28 years in existence, has been providing jazz music in the Howard County area and actually around the world.
And to brighten the spirit of the season, we also bring you Light.
And it's really a great family-centered event that people can enjoy during the holidays and not only have a fun holiday light-filled show, but also benefit the hospital at the same time.
These stories and more on December's Hoka Journal, starting right now. Hi, and welcome to Hoka Journal, the show where we highlight the unique and interesting people, businesses, and stories around Howard County. I am your host, Cris Oviedo. And I want to start today's show shining light to our county. And my guest today represents an event that illuminates downtown Columbia every year. It's a pleasure to have Emily Shreve in studio with me, the Special Events Manager for Howard County General Hospital Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I am glad that you are here. Today we're going to talk about the Howard County General Foundation. And I'm not even going to lie, I was kind of surprised to see that there is this sidekick almost, right? Running right along with the hospital. So tell us a little bit more about the foundation, please.
Sure. So Howard County General Hospital Foundation was founded in 1992. And the mission really is that we are the fundraising arm of Howard County General Hospital. Mm-hmm. So as we know, Howard County General Hospital is the only hospital in Howard County. We serve the community members and beyond, and we are part of Johns Hopkins Medicine, and the foundation is tasked with raising funds solely to support the hospital, whether that is for state-of-the-art equipment, for technology, training and education for our nurses and staff, programming support, as well as buildings and infrastructure. So we do a lot of fundraising, whether it's through a special event like I work on or through other vehicles like annual giving and campaigns.
So funding for the hospital, I don't know, maybe some people think that the hospital is fully funded by, I don't know, maybe government or other entity like Johns Hopkins, you know, because that's attached to the name right there, right at the beginning. Can you talk a little bit more about why is there a fundraising entity, right, to this hospital that many people probably think that it's fully funded?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because that is a common misconception. Mm-hmm. That, number one, because we're called Howard County General Hospital, and number two, because we are part of Johns Hopkins Medicine,
right,
that, in fact, as you mentioned, we are funded by one or both of those entities, which we are not. We benefit from being an affiliate and partner hospital of Johns Hopkins Medicine because we have access to the world-class medical research, clinical care, and resources that exist just 10 plus miles away in East Baltimore, and we are not funded by Johns Hopkins Medicine. We are not fully funded by Howard County government. In fact, the first operational support that has been granted by Howard County government was just established last year by former County Executive Alan Kittleman. So we do rely on fundraising to be able to offer the services that we do for the community and its citizens.
So the purpose of the foundation, is it strictly fundraising, or is it also of a community building type strategy as well, along with the raising of funds for the hospital?
So our primary purpose is fundraising, mm-hmm. but I think that that really goes hand in hand with building community. I don't think you can have one without having the other. Mm-hmm. So while we do fundraising events and projects, they naturally fall into community building and support, especially because one of our primary areas of focus now and into the future is what we call population health, mm-hmm. which really is looking towards addressing the healthcare of the community and really being proactive as opposed to reactive and okay. reducing admissions or readmissions to the hospital. And that is just so closely tied to the community. We have that program is really growing, and just
2 weeks ago, I think I volunteered for one of their events where there's a whole team of people from the hospital, and they go into areas throughout the community. A lot of times it's a religious entity or a corporate office, and provide services such as blood pressure screening and BMI screenings and stroke and risk factors such as that. So just really to evaluate the health of where people are now and provide them with information about what resources are available. So it's really a lot about preventive care.
So we kind of know now what the mission of the foundation, and we understand a little bit better that where funding comes for the hospital. So what are some of the events? And I know that we're going to talk about one in particular that it's happening right now and will continue to happen until the end of the year, pretty much. But what are some of the other events hosted by the foundation?
The Howard County General Hospital Foundation primarily holds two annual fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And we also are fortunate to benefit from third-party events. So groups in the community will host events that benefit the hospital, which is wonderful. So our two primary events are the Heroes in Healthcare, mm-hmm. which is a reception-style event that's typically held in the spring. And that is in its fourth year, coming up in 2019. And then our largest annual fundraiser is called the Symphony of Lights. Most people in Howard County are familiar with it. This is our 24th year of operating the Symphony of Lights as a fundraiser to benefit the hospital. And we've held it in the same location in downtown Columbia for all 24 years. And we're fortunate to have the opportunity to continue as really a treasured holiday tradition for citizens of Howard County, as well as people ranging from DC to Virginia, Pennsylvania, and beyond. And it's really a great family-centered event that people can enjoy during the holidays and not only have a fun holiday light-filled show, but also benefit the hospital at the same time.
Can you kind of like paint a picture for us of what people can expect to see when they come to Merriweather and just enjoy the lights?
So the Symphony of Lights is primarily a driving event, mm-hmm. and that is wonderful because it allows people to experience the lights in any weather. As we know, it often rains or snows, and right. we're open rain, shine, or snow. It's probably a 15-minute or so experience set in downtown Columbia. We integrated Merriweather Post Pavilion even more this year, so it's now lit and has holiday themes running through the pavilion stage, and people are actually able to drive across the Merriweather lawn.
Oh, wow.
To experience the lights. We have about 300,000 LED lights.
Wow.
So that's quite a few. And that encompasses about 120 light displays. So some of those light displays are animated, some are stationary. We have different themes that range from storybook characters, nursery rhymes, musical instruments, and holiday-themed scenes as well.
No matter if it's raining, if it's snowing, absolutely. You can still come through and experience the lights. And I have to say, so I'm originally from Ecuador, and in Ecuador, we put up lights for Christmas, but I don't think I ever had the opportunity to see something like this, where some of the displays are tall, very, very tall.
Yes.
They're very large because you're literally driving even through some of them, which is like the coolest thing. Like I was like a little girl, you know, I took my kids 1 year because I was like, well, they need to experience this, right, as kids. And it really was the experience for me.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't for my children just alone. I took them so they could experience it, and it turned out being a magical moment for me. It was just beautiful to see. I remember there was a princess that was waving hello, and there was like a rainbow. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying, there were different themes. So you're driving through
characters from different books. Suddenly you're in like Christmas land.
Right.
And I mean, it's just so pretty. So who is behind deciding all of those pieces and how to place them and the themes that come up, or how does that work?
So it's really a collaboration between the hospital foundation, and we work with a third party contractor, event consulting and management. And they are the ones behind the actual setup of the lights. Mm. And that takes almost 6 weeks to set up all of the lights and all 300,000 bulbs. It's quite an effort. But like you mentioned, it being not only an experience for the kids, but yourself, we have a lot of people that tell us that they saw the lights when they were kids, and now they are taking their children or grandchildren, and it's really an experience for the whole family. And we also have people that say they like to go through more than once because maybe mom will drive and dad will get to watch, and then they switch so that everybody can kind of have a good time seeing everything. You definitely can pick out different things every time you go through. So one time you might notice all the reindeer that are jumping over top of your car driving through. And then the next time you'll say, oh, I didn't know that there were toy soldiers firing cannonballs that you saw while you were driving through the Toyland section of the lights. So it's fun to see the different things. And what we also do every year is a contest, primarily for kids, but everyone can enjoy, to really have an interactive component. So people this year can count the number of holiday presents throughout the lights, and then they just enter online for a chance to win prizes. I can't tell you the number. It's a big secret.
Okay. But whoever's closest or whoever finds the actual number, so how does that contest work?
So for the Count the Presents contest and other contests that we do every year, anyone who submits the correct answer, so this year it's the number of holiday presents, is entered into a drawing, and we choose winners out of those people who've chosen the correct number.
And can you tell us a little bit more of the prizes? What can people win?
We have lots of fun prizes, including VIP tickets to Merriweather concerts in 2019. Also tickets to the Columbia Symphony Orchestra, to the Soundry. We have gift cards to the main event in Columbia, to Clyde's Restaurant, and then all a month of free swim lessons at Goldfish Swim Center and various other gift cards. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's great. And it just gives people an extra fun thing to do while they're going through the lights.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned extra fun things, because I know that we talked about this being a driving experience and kind of like a set event. But there's a couple of different or a couple of special extras, I would say, right? There's one night especially that's very different from everything else, and that's that you guys call it the Festive Family Walk. So tell us a little more about that for this year.
So we're very excited about this year's only walkthrough event, and it is called the Festive Families Walkthrough. And on one night only, this year it's on Sunday, December the 2nd, anyone can come and purchase a ticket to walk through the lights. It's just an absolutely a different experience than driving. My first time walking through the lights was really magical, because you're just right up close and can see all the lights at your own eye level. And with the Festive Families event, we have so much more than just the lights. So that includes musical performances, including holiday carolers. We have a opportunity to take your own photo with a Santa Claus.
Oh.
We have, since it's also the first night of Hanukkah, we have Temple Isaiah coming with a blow-up Hanukkah polar bear and pool noodle menorah. We have a heated tent that people can pass through and warm up. There will be concessions available for purchase from food trucks. Sponsors will be on site and giving out little holiday giveaways, such as hand warmers and glow sticks.
Oh.
So it's really a great environment, and we did want to make sure we opened it up to really anyone who'd like to attend this year. In the past, we've focused on different groups such as Twinkling Tots and small children, but we'd like anyone who'd like to walk through the lights this year to be able to attend.
And this, as you said, is about a mile walk then.
Exactly.
So come prepared. What are the times? What are the times that people can come, not just for the walk, but like in general? Are they the same times or do they change for the family walk?
So for the drive-through, the times are 6 to 10 p.m. and we're closed Mondays and Tuesdays, with the exception of December 24th and 25th. We're open. And then the only other day we're closed is Sunday, December 2nd for the Festive Families event. And that time is from 5 to 8 p.m. And typically it gets dark right about 5. So that's really prime viewing time for the lights. And people typically come and spend an hour or more when they're walking through, because there are so many little festivities that they can take advantage of and make sure that the kids get to see Santa and take a photo. And this year we're co-presenting that event with Merriweather Park at Symphony Woods. And so they're providing all the entertainment and festivities on the Chrysalis stage.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. And what happens if it rains? Does it still go on? Or
so the event is rain or shine. We do have a snow date. So on that day, on December 2nd, if there were to be inclement weather, then we would make a decision and publicize that decision, as well as reach out to everyone who's purchased tickets and let them know that we would reschedule for the following Sunday, December 9th. But typically, we do try to hold the event unless it's really inclement weather, such as ice. We wouldn't, for example, hold the event. And the good thing is that people are usually prepared for the cold weather because it's 'tis the season. And if it's cold, then it's just, we like to call it festive weather.
Right.
If we have a few snow flurries, it makes it all the more festive and wonderful.
Absolutely. It's just like special effects, just perfect for the event.
I believe as of now, the forecast is 45 degrees and rain in the morning, clearing in the evening. So, okay. so hopefully that stands.
Sounds like we'll have the festive weather for sure.
Exactly.
And do people need to reserve tickets in advance for this event?
So tickets are available in advance or at the door. We do encourage people to purchase tickets in advance because the ticket price increases on the day of the event. In advance, it's $12 per person. Children 3 and under are free. And then on the day of the event, that increases to $15 per person. Again, children 3 and under are free. We also this year are offering a discount for groups. So if 10 people or more register at once, then there's a discount for a $10 ticket per person.
This is great because I was just in the process of planning something to do with my kids and their friends and just have something fun. And I mean, we always do the same thing. We always do the bowling, and we always do, not that it's not fun, right? And we want to, and we will probably continue to do that for birthday parties. Right. There's always an excuse, right, to go. But this is a one in a kind event.
It's very unique.
You can only go one day a year,
yes.
Right? So why not make this your friends get together, right?
Yes.
You're why not get everybody that you want to share with and have, and it's just perfect because it's holiday themed.
Yes.
You know, you can go bowling and that's not going to be holiday themed.
Yeah. It's a great holiday tradition.
Right? But this is perfect. This brings the spirit and brings everybody together and is a very unique experience that you don't even get, like we were saying earlier with the drive, you know.
Right.
And driving is beautiful. Like I say, I've done it before, not just once, a few times, because I just really appreciate, I love looking at the lights. Like we're the type of family that gets in the car and just drives around neighborhoods.
Yes.
Looking for the pretty looking houses. Well, here we don't have to go and kind of like gamble, you know, are we going to see lights if we go in the street? We actually know what you're going to see, you're expecting to see, and you're driving through all of those lights. So I think it's definitely something people should consider. December 2nd, mark your calendars, 5 to 8 p.m. Come and be part of this. I'm committing to it right now. So I will be buying tickets. This is perfect. You just made my life a lot easier.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to do that. And we love that people can not only have a wonderful holiday themed time, but also support the hospital at the same time.
Absolutely. So tell me, so we talked about the family, the festive family walk, but there's also, you guys also show military appreciation nights. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So the Festive Families Walk is the only opportunity to walk through the lights. The other special events that we do during Symphony of Lights are discount nights at the drive-thru. So military appreciation discount nights offer active duty and reserve and retired military members and their dependents the opportunity to purchase a discounted $10 ticket at the gate any Thursday during the Symphony of Lights. So that's really a great way for us to give back and recognize the service of military members. And then our newest promotion is that we are, for the first time, offering a senior discount night. So that is one night only. And it is this coming Wednesday night, November the 28th. And that will also be a discounted admission for ages 65 and older. They can purchase a $10 ticket to the Symphony of Lights drive-through. And both of those discount nights, the tickets are only available at the gate so that they can show their valid ID.
Perfect. And let's talk about price for people when they come and they're ready to do the drive-through. Do they pay by car? Do they pay per person in the car? And what's the rate?
So the Symphony of Lights is priced per car. It's $25 per car. Mm-hmm. And you can fit as many people as legally allowed in your vehicle.
So if you have a minivan and you have a full minivan, you're still paying $25.
Exactly. And I will let listeners in on a secret, which is if you like our Facebook page at Symphony of Lights Festivities, there is a $5 discount coupon available.
Oh, wow.
So that brings the cost down to just $20.
You guys just keep on giving and giving and giving. So let's remind everybody where the dates are for this year's event. When can they go to enjoy the lights?
So for the drive-through, we opened last Thursday, and we're open until Sunday, December the 30th, every Wednesday through Sunday, with the exception of December 2nd, which is Festive Families. And then we're closed every Monday and Tuesday, except that we are open on December 24th and December 25th.
And then where can people buy tickets? I know we said that they can get them at the door, but we also said that they can purchase them ahead of time. So
tickets are available online. We sell tickets through Eventbrite. So you can either go to the Eventbrite website or to the Howard County General Hospital website for the ticketing link. And we do not charge service fees for those tickets purchased in advance. If you purchase tickets at the door, you can do so with a credit card or with cash.
Great. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know, or just remind them, or like even a holiday message for listeners?
So for everyone joining us for the Symphony of Lights drive-through or for our Festive Families walk-through on December 2nd, we look forward to seeing you and celebrating the holidays with you, as well as supporting Howard County General Hospital. And make sure to look at the ticket confirmation and details, because we have lots of helpful hints there for Experience the Symphony of Lights, whether it's to tell you the radio station to turn your car to when you're driving through, or to provide you with all of the information about our holiday contests and special features throughout the lights. And we look forward to seeing you at Symphony of Lights this year.
Sounds wonderful. I am definitely, like I said, planning to be there on December the 2nd for the Festive Family Walk. I've never experienced the Symphony of Lights walking, so that's going to be my gift to myself and my family this year. Emily, thank you so much for coming into our studio today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for HOCA Journal, I'm Chris Oviedo, and we'll be right back.
Opioids are highly addictive drugs, even when prescribed. If misused, they can lead to overdose and even death. One opioid overdose is too many. You have the power to save a life. If you or someone you know are misusing prescription opioids such as oxycodone or other forms of opioids like heroin or fentanyl, please call the Howard County Health Department for treatment options and opioid overdose response training at 410-313-6202 or visit the website at howardcountymd.gov/get help.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker. In its 28th year, the Columbia Jazz Band performs a diverse mix of jazz as well as blues, Latin, swing standards, and pop at concerts and dances throughout the greater Washington, D.C. area. With me here today to talk about the Columbia Jazz Band is their director, Fred Hughes. Mr. Hughes, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Alex. I really appreciate being back on the air with you.
Yeah, glad to have you back. So, yeah, you were, it was either like a year or two ago that we had you on to talk about the Columbia Jazz Band. So for those who may have missed that interview, tell us, just give us a brief description of what the Columbia Jazz Band is.
Certainly, and actually, when you and I spoke that time, that was shortly after I had joined the organization as their director. So I was very new in the position, and I've been with the group now almost a year and a half. The Columbia Jazz Band, as you said, 28 years in existence, has been providing jazz music in the Howard County area and actually around the world. The band has traveled over throughout the years to different festivals in Europe and so aside from playing most of the outdoor venues in the Howard County area, the group has in the past traveled to different festivals throughout the world.
And I know you were talking about earlier, so you've been around for about a year and a half now. So I know when we last checked in, you said you were just starting out. So now that you have a year and a half with the jazz band under your belt, has it been like the early jitters, I guess, of just starting out, has that been gone and you're really now settling into your role?
I think that we are all enjoying our relationship now. I know that when I first joined the organization, I had a vision for where I wanted to see the music go, and it involved a little extra work on everybody's behalf, and I think we've all fallen into a groove now. In particular, this time of year is really busy for the organization, so we prepare new concerts in which, for instance, tonight we rehearse our Christmas concert that's coming up, and I've only got three rehearsals to pull it all together with some pretty tough music. So when I first joined the organization and I started bringing in a little bit, you know, tougher big band music, I think everyone realized how much more we were going to have to really buckle up and rehearse, and I'm really happy to be a part of the organization. These folks have really, really stepped up, and we've been creating some great music, and I really enjoy being a part of the organization. So, yes, it's been great. It's been great.
And so I know you're already talking about one of the events you have coming up, but before we kind of dive into that, we could talk a little bit, maybe a bit about your musical background before you started working with the Columbia Jazz Band. So I was looking online, and it's a very impressive resume you have. One of the things, you know, you've been with a lot of orchestras. One of the things I noticed was the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, there for a while. Mine is 10 years ago, I guess. I was doing a lot of their pops. I was piano player with a lot of their pops when Jeff Tysik was the pops conductor for the orchestra. It was a great, great time. I was also the conductor for the Three Mo Tenors, and the first summer I was with them, they were doing symphony concerts throughout the United States, and so I was very fortunate as their conductor to be with Cincinnati Pops, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and so on and so forth. It was just really a great time to conduct. I tell people I had the best seat in the house because I got to stand in front of these great orchestras and behind these three great gentlemen that just sang, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So that's been part of that. And I've been a jazz musician all my life. I was with the Jazz Ambassadors, which is the Army's premier touring jazz ensemble. And I think I'd like to say that that's, you know, mainly the reason why the Columbia Jazz Orchestra Columbia Jazz Band has asked me to become a part of their organization, because of my time with the Jazz Ambassadors. And it's where I got a chance to really hone my skills in a big band.
Yeah, and I know, once again, looking a bit about your background, I know you worked with a lot of pretty notable jazz musicians. I know one thing I noticed on your resume page was, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, it's Toots Thielemans?
Yeah, Toots Thielemans, phenomenal harmonica player. Unfortunately, we lost him a couple of years ago, I was very fortunate to play in his hometown area. He's from Brussels. And the Jazz Ambassador was playing for the Brussels Jazz Festival, and he was a guest with the Jazz Ambassadors, and I got to play his several tunes with him, including his most famous tune, Bluesette. Just a wonderful experience. A beautiful man. Just, I think, probably the best that has ever lived that played the harmonica, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I remember looking him up. I know one of the things I noticed he did was he worked on the harmonica theme that's played during the movie Midnight Cowboy, and that's just a really incredible harmonica theme from that movie.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
Okay, then I guess we'll start diving right into the events you have coming up. You talked about it a little bit already, but I believe it's your holiday event. I believe it's on December 15th. It's Music at the Museum.
Correct. 6 p.m. at the Howard County Historical Society. We've done, I think, 3 or 4 years now, a holiday concert at that venue. And it always, if people are interested in coming, they better get their tickets soon. It always sells out. So it's a full house. And if you'd like to come here, the Columbia Jazz Band play some great holiday music, get your tickets now. They won't last too long.
All right, then. The next one on the list I see is the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival, and that is on February 19th.
Correct. Yes, we are always invited every year, thanks to Paul Carr, the director of the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival. And actually, it's Saturday the 16th, I believe, if I got my dates correct. We don't have a time yet. Yes, Saturday the 16th of February for the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival. We're always invited to play with a lot of other great groups from the area. On their atrium stage there as part of the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival. Just, you know, keep checking our website for a time, or you can sign up for our email list at columbiajazzband.org. We have an email list that we let everybody know what we're doing and when.
Okay, and then another one on the list is you have a celebration to Buddy Rich called The Beat Goes On, April 26th.
Correct. When we spoke last, that was going to be the first ticketed event that the band had ever done. Last April, we did the music of Count Basie.
Very
successful concert. We had a full house at Slayton House. And so we're trying to do a yearly theme of featuring the music of different folks who have written or had great, great big bands, and you can't ignore the fact that Buddy Rich was one of the best. So it'll be a great evening of music of Buddy Rich, some of the great tunes that he has written, including those of your listeners that are really familiar with Buddy's music. We're actually going to tackle the Channel One Suite, which is a very challenging tune for any big band to do. So we're looking forward to doing that. But it'll be a great evening of music, of Buddy's music, and celebrating his life. As we did with our last two events at the Slayton House, we also present videos and pictures and so on and so forth above the band. And it's a really nice story to tell the life of the last time Count Basie and this time Buddy Rich.
Okay.
8 p.m. on April 26th at the Slayton House.
Okay, and then the last one I saw on your calendar list was Columbia Jazz Band live at the Pavilion May 19th. You're going to Meriwether?
No, this is the... that's a good one. But no, this is the Pavilion, which is at the church in Fulton.
Oh, okay.
Church in Fulton. And so, yes, that's a yearly concert for us. It's a nice outdoor venue there at the Lutheran Church.
Okay. So those are the events I've noticed on your calendar. So Obviously, this is November. The year has been winding down. So what are some of the events that you have already done this year that we have missed that you've done, like, say, in spring or winter?
Well, the last concert that we did was our Veterans Day concert, which was at the Slayton House. And we were very fortunate that BGE we put in a grant to possibly allow veterans to come in to see the concert free. And BGE actually did pick up our sponsorship for that, and we were able to offer over half the auditorium for free to veterans and their families. So BGE really, really stepped up and helped us out there, and it was a sold-out concert at Slayton House, and good afternoon, everybody. We've had nothing but great reports. In fact, I just got something from the orchestra with some of the vets that had actually taken the time to thank us, and we had some really, really nice compliments. And so that's a yearly event that I'd like to do based around Veterans Day, is to present the music from the different eras. Next year, I believe we're going to do the music that was popular during the Korean War, is what I planned. So that was the last concert that we did. We also finished out the series at the Columbia Lakefront, which is always a blast to play, always a very appreciative audience, and we appreciate the Lakefront series for always having us a part of that series.
Wow, so you're talking about with the veterans, and that must be so great when they write these letters of thank you and just showing that how much that music meant to them, and that just must give you a wonderful feeling.
It was really a beautiful act. Numerous band members saying that people were just leaving the auditorium with smiles on their faces and thanking everyone for a great afternoon of music. So yes,
great. That's great. That makes everything worth it, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Yeah, and then. So we've talked about, you know, stuff in the past, what you got listed on your website. Is there anything that's not on your website that's not has been officially announced yet that you're trying to plan in the next few months or the next year or so?
Not at this point. I mean, we're ahead of the curve there to get our April concert. We don't even have the tickets up for sale yet, but I do hope that people will go to our website and sign up for our mailing list so that they can always know what's going on, not just only with the jazz band, but also with the orchestra. The orchestra still has several things that they're doing this year, too. In fact, I think they have two concerts still coming up. So a lot of great music, thanks to the Columbia Orchestra, and we're glad to be a part of that organization, and a lot of great music happening in Howard County. So if I could just ask your listeners that constantly help support the music, you know, buy tickets to the concerts, become a subscriber, for the yearly seasons with the orchestra, or just help by going to the donate button at the columbiaorchestra.org and helping keep great music alive in Howard County.
Yeah, and you've been talking about it already, but I'd talk about a little bit about the other organizations you collaborate with, because you just talked about the Columbia Orchestra. I've had Jason Love on here a few times, and he's actually the one, I believe, that connected me to you over the years. So tell us a bit more about all your collaborations you have going on.
Well, again, we're part of the orchestra. So I'm actually, as part of what we do with the jazz band, trying to find more people to collaborate with. Recently, we did a concert at the 50-plus center in Ellicott City, which went over extremely well and got to play for a different audience. And so I'm always looking for opportunities for the band to play in those type of situations. I'm hoping that we can do more at the different 50-plus centers in Howard County. I'd like to, in the summertime, do some of the senior facilities and the 50-plus centers to possibly do some concerts during the summer, outdoor-type concerts. So I'm always looking for new ways, as is the orchestra, to present what we do. So if some of your listeners are out there and listening, and hey, we'd like to have the band, please contact us, columbiajazzband.org. You can get in touch with us. But yeah, I'm always looking for new ways to present what we do.
All right. And I was wondering, if people really like listening to this music, do you offer like recordings of the orchestra that can be purchased online, like in, like, say, a CD, or just be able to download online digitally?
The jazz band does have two CDs. Actually, I think there's only one that's left, Live in Europe. Band did have two CDs that you can listen to on our website. and I think there's only one left that's for sale. And we have them always at our concerts, or you can, again, contact us through our website to get the music there. Nothing downloadable, but definitely there are CDs of the jazz band. That is something that I'm been talking with the different folks in the band about, hopefully in the next year, presenting some of the newer stuff that we've been doing. Because we do have new members in the organization, too, so it's about time for us to give an idea of exactly where the band mm-hmm. is at this point in time.
Yeah, do you, I was looking at your website, do you offer like live DVDs so you can watch live shows of previous recording shows?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay.
But that's a great idea. I'll credit you when I start doing those things. That's a great idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Heard it here first. And one of the things I did forget to talk about a little bit was we talked about all the events you have coming up. Once again, I was looking on your website. I believe you've toured all around the world. I think one of the notable places you performed was at the Montreux Jazz Festival.
The band, yes. Yes, they have. Every 2 years under the direction of Pete Barenbrink, they would try and get to different places and always, especially during the summer, there's festivals all over Europe. So very fortunate to have invites to Jazz à Vienne. I think they played the Umbria Jazz Festival, the Montreux Jazz Festival. So, yeah, really a great situation for the organization to have that as part of our resume.
And so you've been talking about it a lot already, but just to kind of get it all into this one specific place, tell us all the ways, if people want to find a way to contribute or donate or do whatever to help out the band, what are the ways people can do that and where do they need to go?
ColumbiaJazzBand.org. There's links there to donate. Obviously, we're a part of the Columbia Orchestra, so if they go to ColumbiaOrchestra.org, there's a donate tab there, and then they can donate to the overall orchestra. Since you're listening to my voice, when you donate, put on there that your donation is for the jazz band. There's a little checkpoint that you can check and say this is for the jazz band. Of course, it all goes to a great cause, but I'm making light of it. But yes, that's how people can get in touch and to donate to the organization, ColumbiaOrchestra.org or ColumbiaJazzBand.org.
All right. So we're getting close to the end of my questions here. Is there anything I forgot to talk about or bring up that you would like to bring up now?
No, I'd just like to reiterate that we are always looking for new ways to get the music into the community. And so if there are some venues or ideas that folks, your listeners, have of ways for us to do more partnerships, some of the churches in the area, we've been doing concerts there, but there's always, I'm sure, places that we're not thinking of that are there. So if anyone has an idea that say, hey, this would be a great venue for a concert, please contact us. Like I said, I'd like to find as many different ways to get the music out there as possible.
Okay. Located right here in Howard County, the Columbia Jazz Band has performed music not only in Howard County, but around the world as well. Be sure to catch them in a number of events happening in the next few months. I've been talking today with the director of the Columbia Jazz Band, Fred Hughes, to talk about everything they do. Mr. Hughes, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Alex, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always great talking with you.
Great having you on. For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker, and we'll be right back on Dragon Digital Radio.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
That's it for our show today. Thanks to our guests for bringing light and music to our county. And thanks to you for listening to our show every month. To connect with us, don't forget to go to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We are Dragon Digital Radio. Or you can also go to dragondigitalradio.podbean.com and connect with us. Subscribe to our podcast page and listen to this episode and all of our other shows that we produce here at the station. Or if you want to connect with me, if you have questions or if you have comments, just connect with me via Facebook. I am Cris Oviedo, or you can email me at moviedo@howardcc.edu. Have a wonderful season. Enjoy the magic of the season. Spread love, cheer, kindness everywhere that you go. And until next month, I'm Cris Oviedo. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.